Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. Your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The Flyers fell apart at the seams on Tuesday night and looked like they were going to let history repeat itself by allowing three goals in the opening 5 minutes of Thursday night's game before a much-needed AV timeout stabilized things for a bit. The boys were eventually able to find their footing and would go on to rattle off four unanswered goals to beat the Pens in dramatic fashion, with the captain tallying two much, much needed goals. All that and more on this episode of Three Pigeons Puckcast. I'm your host with the most, Joe Gazarian, and I gotta say, multitasking a virtual Kygo concert in the Flyers' third period made for a good time. I'm not gonna lie, I enjoyed it thoroughly. So, next time, same thing, Kygo, you're gonna have to climb that mountain again, and Flyers are gonna need to come back in the third.
I can't get over the fact that you just get an email at 4 o'clock, and you're like, oh. I have a virtual Kygo concert.
Listen, I bought those tickets months ago, and I completely forgot about it. And they were just, hey, at least they were kind enough to email me, so I didn't waste the $20. So I'll take it.
Yeah, it's kind of like my my exam. They didn't email me for my 3 a.m.
Kygo
exam,
cares more about me than your educators do, Matt.
Is that Kygo concert military time?
Yeah,
or?
Right. Yeah, did they let you know that? All right. Well, I'm Matt Arenick, and how about Moose Boys? The Fountain of Youth, potentially. I did say one of my preseason predictions was, I'm probably going to jinx him now, that he'd have a bounce back year, plus .915 save percent average on the year. So,
little known fact, by the way, The Fountain of Youth is located at Ridley Creek State Park. It's actually right by the first run of bathrooms. It's right there. Everybody thinks Ponce de Leon had it in down south, but it's here. Ridley Creek State Park. Help yourself.
Who would have thought? Who would have thought? My favorite thing about Elliott's resurgence is that every goal he lets in is not his fault, whereas every goal Carter Hart lets in is 100% his fault.
We have to make sure to decipher the goals that he allows.
Yeah. No, Els has been great. I'm Mike Sawissa, and I already know that Claude Giroux is my favorite Flyer of all time, but when he has games like this, it just solidifies it times a million. G is just... Now that he's a dad,
the beard, the teeth, the new chompers.
He's an old married man. What can't you love about G right now?
Nah, that was he was spectacular tonight, and that was a hell of a ride, I guess you could say. Before we get to it though, real quick, let's hear from our sponsor. You've heard us talk about DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, and how payday can come every day by entering their contest with huge cash prizes up for grabs. This week is jam-packed with action ranging from basketball to golf. DraftKings has plenty of ways for you to have a front-row seat to all the action. Making a lineup on DraftKings adds excitement to every night, and it's easy to do. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every moment means more with the DraftKings lineup on the line. DraftKings has paid out over $7 billion to users across all sports, and DraftKings is the leader in daily fantasy sports, so there's no better place to get in on all the action. Now that you know how to play, download the DraftKings app and sign up using code THPN. New users will get a free entry with their first deposit. That's code THPN. Get a free entry with your first deposit only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. All right, now let's get to the real action. Flyers were, I don't think this is a stretch to say they were humiliated on Tuesday night, losing to the Pens 5-2. They did post a season high of 42 shots. I had to take like a triple check on that because I could not believe they shot the puck that much. But they did, 42 times. But a combination of really terrible special teams play and key defensemen committing critical errors really just, it was insurmountable for them to come back. I know we don't want to linger too much on this loss, but what were your guys' biggest takeaways from Tuesday night?
I'll probably be in the minority with this game, but I was annoyed, but I wasn't like bothered necessarily because the shot total didn't surprise me because as I was watching the game, I was like, wow, they're pretty consistently out shooting the Pens and they were getting their chances. They looked dangerous. I thought Jari made a couple of good saves, but I mean, it all came down to that one stretch in the second period where was it three goals, a flurry of three goals right away or something.
Right
like
after
that.
We scored, it all fell apart.
Right after the Flyers scored, it fell apart, and it wasn't even like the Pens were coming in and just like dominating on the forecheck. They scored on pretty much every goal the Pens got that night was on key turnovers and key gaffes by the defense specifically. So even down to the empty netter that they got at the end of the game that was technically against Carter Hart, you know, TK couldn't even get the puck in on a empty net situation, and the Pens were able to just pick it off and fire down the net. So I was annoyed. It looked ugly, but I was like, okay, if they come out and just clean up those glaring deficiencies, they should fare pretty well against the Pens. So you wouldn't have thought that from the first 4 minutes of tonight's game, though. But
yeah, that it's more or less the issue I had, and I got over it pretty quick because, like Mike said, I mean, we going into that game, what were we like? I can't remember the record, 9-1-1 or 8-1-1. Like the majority of our wins coming against any team not named the Bruins, I should say all. So crazy record against non-Bruins related teams. So obviously you know that that's not going to stand moving forward. The Pens have played better of late, and I didn't anticipate sweeping them in the season series. So one of these games is bound to happen. The way it happened was a little frustrating just because the ugly habits we've had to start the season were the reason we lost the game. Outside of the turnover from Ghost that led to the breakaway from Kasperi Kapanen, it was just terrible penalty killing leading to an empty net goal or backdoor wide open net goal. And then try to think, what was the third goal? Why am I blanking?
It was Kapanen.
Kapanen had two. He had the first two, I want to say.
He had the shorthanded one and he had the power play goal.
Yeah, and then what was the last one? Brian Rust from Letang. Either way, I mean, good takeaways from the game. Joel Farabee continued to stay hot. That top line of JVR, Coots, I mean, there's not enough good things you can say about them. Every time they're on the ice, they're dangerous. I mean, and JVR, he looks like a different player than last year. It's so weird. He's stronger on the puck. He's stronger on his skates. He's forechecking so well. He just seems like an all-around smarter player. Such a weird – not that he didn't play well-ish in his second season compared to his first, but he just looks like a different player, which is a good thing.
I was going to say he looked like he struggled the most to adapt to AV's system compared to Hextall. Like that – because a lot of people said Jake was going to have a hard time getting used to it. I think JVR fought the most with it. He's putting it together now at least. So,
yeah, I mean, Jake's another one last night. It was one of those games where he looked good. He was moving the puck well. But then when it came down to like actually making the play or shooting the puck, we know he won't shoot the puck. That's just I think that's one of the deadly sins from the Czech Republic is shooting the puck. You just won't do it. But yeah, I don't think there's many takeaways from that game outside of the fact that the special teams just continues to struggle, partially probably due to coaching, partially due to execution, and then just the defensive gaps in front were tough to watch. I mean, Ghost had the one man in front. Provy, he struggled a little bit last night as well, or the other night, but I don't know. I don't know what to say. Anything else? What do you think, Joe?
No, you said it, Matt. For me, the most like Mike too. I wasn't upset. Like, I wasn't mad or anything with the loss, but I was very disappointed to see the same reoccurring themes just continue to happen. And now we're a third of the way through the season. It still isn't figured out. So I mean, time is ticking for them to get the special teams right and to kind of just fix the critical. I would say they were getting better before the break. The defense was starting to turn the corner a little bit. That Buffalo series, obviously two shutouts. You know, that's nothing to shake a stick at, but it's just, I was really disappointed to see the special team struggle like that. And then to see Provorov struggle as much as he did. I wouldn't say he's had a bad year this year. But he's probably, if you asked him, he's probably not playing up to the level that he'd like to be. And it's just unfortunate, but hey, all players are going to have games like that. I thought he played better this game. Ghost, you know, that's an unfortunate pass that led to the goal, but that's what you get with him. You know, he brings a lot of, he's not a turnover machine per se, but he's going to bring you advantages and disadvantages, and you're just going to have to live with that. So I thought they both played better Thursday night. I was more impressed. I would like to see Gustafsson draw back into the lineup for Hague. Other than that, no, I think that's pretty much it. I don't think we have to keep talking about game one unless there's something you guys thought of. I'll say this, Mike. I think you said it. Carter Hart played he played a fine game Tuesday night.
He had some big saves.
He had some huge saves.
And that's coming from me, who
I should have broke
remember,
down.
Remember, guys, I was
I
the one
broke
who
down those goals against.
I was the guy against Boston on the outdoor game. I was not very happy with him.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you right now, I mean, I watched that game Tuesday. That game's not on him. I mean, that's just...
No.
He made some cute saves and just didn't get his team, for whatever reason, to play in front of him.
You had your top pair played, and I think AV said this too, like, you're not going to get many games like that from Provorov. You're just not. How many times in Provorov's career have we...
I can count on one hand.
Holy shit, he's a disaster tonight. Like, even this year, he's been below his standard. I probably would agree with you, Joe.
He's been underwhelming, yeah.
Yeah, but, like, underwhelming for Provorov is what? He didn't take the next step to become, like, a true...
Elite number one.
Number one defense. Like, yeah, like, he's still playing at, what, a level... A number
I mean,
two,
the other thing is, like, you play 30 minutes a night, too. Like, you're gonna make mistakes.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that's part of why I wasn't super concerned about that game. I mean, what was on the ice was concerning, but I was not concerned that it would linger, because it's like, what, three of those goals come from your top pair playing incredibly below their station? And, you know, that's not gonna hold for multiple games, I guess. So, and it didn't tonight. So.
Well, yeah, I think that's a good point to transition into Thursday night's game. So, the Flyers proved the keyboard warriors wrong, pulled out I guess you could say improbable come from behind win over the Pens. 4 minutes in, they found themselves down 3-0, only to have the captain Claude put the entire team on his back and scale the hills of Pittsburgh, or should I say the mountains of Norway, with Kygo. Flyers win 4-3. I really think they needed that. What were your guys' takeaways from this? This was a real fun one to watch. Probably the most fun Flyers game I can remember in the last... Well, I guess there were some fun ones last year. There was a good one against Ottawa last year and a couple. But I thought overall this game was a ton of fun to watch after the first 5 minutes, and then everything else was okay.
How much do you think it pained AV to take?
My God, we're going to get to that, please. Do you want to address that now or later?
I think...
Yes, yeah,
I think as well. Yeah, I think he, like, must keep a tally of, like... It's like the Iron Man streak. But how many games he can go without calling a timeout? Because I have yet to see a coach who's so reluctant.
Yeah.
Like, I know there's the strategy behind...
Waiting for challenge, yeah.
Yeah, like there might be a challenge that might cost you the game, and that's such a lame way to watch the game. I think timeouts can be such a big part of slowing down
100%.
momentum. I mean, there isn't fans in the building, so it's maybe somewhat different, but even with fans in the building, he was reluctant to do so. My roommates will tell you, I literally said, I was like, there's no way he calls a timeout because he just doesn't call them. And I was shocked to see him do so. And I'm not saying there's a direct correlation, but there's a direct correlation.
Mike, do you want to go?
Yeah, no, I mean, I thought he would have called it at 2-0. Well, I didn't think Vigneault would have called it a 2-0. He should have called it a 2-0. I agree with
Correct.
you. You said that in the group. And when we finally got it at 3-0, I'm glad he did, because whatever he said on the bench clearly resonated. I mean, you could see he did the
Yeah,
point
he's
up to
like,
the
hey, we
clock.
got all the time in the world.
Yeah,
Peter Laviolette,
Peter
yes.
Laviolette. Yeah, exactly. Just look. I think you could literally read his lips. He said, "Look how much time is left on the clock." Like, yeah. So, yeah. I mean, like it. Yeah. I wish he would do it more often, because it does seem like, maybe it's like confirmation bias. When a coach calls a timeout and you see it work, you're like, oh my God, it works all the time. I'm sure that plays into it. But for nothing else, the Pens were just steamrolling the Flyers in the opening period. Like, you gotta slow down the game somehow. So,
If, I don't know if we can, I don't know, we'll probably never find it, but it was probably one of the like third or fourth episodes we did ever. And I mentioned that I wish AV would take more timeouts. That was a bugaboo I had about him, is that he does not take timeouts. And it drives me insane. I was screaming at my television after the first goal to take the timeout. Honest to God. Because the first goal, I knew right away they were going to start.
You could feel
Oh,
another one coming.
100%. The way it went in, I was like, call a fucking timeout, call a timeout, call a timeout. And my dad is in the kitchen. He's yelling. He's like, who scored? I'm like, not us, clearly. You hear the buzzer going. I was begging AV on my television to call a timeout. I knew he wasn't going to. 2-0, you have to call that timeout. He still didn't. And I know, Matt, you joked that he has an Iron Man streak. I think he must have a deal with the Flyers where, like, hey, if you end with the season with a surplus of timeouts, we'll pay you more money
It's
for
his
something,
bonus.
Because yeah, he
Performance
gets a performance
bonus.
bonus for not taking the timeouts. It
Because when's the last time we even challenged something? That's what I'm trying to
Oh, in
think.
the
In the playoffs,
playoffs,
yeah. He was a mad
Oh
dog
my
challenging
God.
stuff
Yeah, and
every
then
chance he
always getting
got.
it wrong.
Playoffs,
Jesus
you would
Christ.
yeah, he would challenge the sun for being blue and instead of fucking orange in the sky. The guy's a fucking
Yeah.
nightmare in the playoffs for the challenges. But thank God maybe I don't know, maybe someone paged him from up top and be like, yo, fucking call the timeout. Enough is enough. But I wrote in the outline, this had major Game 7 vibes from Boston in 2010. Same kind of thing. Bruins came out, except they had a full house and were absolutely just destroying the Flyers. Same kind of vibe. Calls a timeout. JVR didn't score this time, but the captain really led the way. And I thought after that timeout, they were able to find their footing and kind of go from there. Moose was great.
As soon
Go
as
ahead, Mike. Take it.
No, I sorry, I didn't
No,
mean to
no.
cut you off, but it really did feel like as soon as they killed that penalty, because it could have gotten really
Oh, if
ugly,
that one
because that
goes
penalty
in,
was right after the
yeah.
timeout too. Yeah, so they killed a penalty, looked pretty good on the kill. Els made like one solid save on it.
On that back door pass, yeah.
But then after that, they really just started putting the work in, and you could feel. I didn't After they got the first goal, I wasn't like they're going to be able to come back and tie this, but I was like, all right, now they're working. And then the Pens had a good start to the second period, but then from then on, it was, I mean, you could tell that the Penguins were 100% playing not to lose that game, save for maybe they had like one really great opportunity. There was the
That was
Malkin,
Malkin one, yeah.
yeah, the Malkin one was good. Elliott made a great save on that, but there was another one. There was a scramble in the
The
crease,
third period, the beginning of the
and the
third,
puck like
they,
drifted along the line or
beginning of the
whatever.
third, they had a little more. Well, they had the power play, and they kind of looked a little dangerous there. But other than that, I agree, Mike. I thought the Flyers did a good job of really asserting themselves the rest of the game.
Yeah, asserting is a good way to put it, because that was potentially the most physical I think we've seen the Flyers the entire year. I mean, they were playing angry. For sure,
Couturier
3-0, they were playing
that
angry.
shot, the first goal, he was just
Oh
pissed. He
yeah.
just teed it up. He's like, you know what? Enough's enough.
Well, he broke his stick. He broke his stick over the crossbar second or third goal. So he was definitely upset. Obviously, he's super physical. Mark Friedman. you guys know I like him more than our bottom pair defenseman. Mm-hmm. I didn't think we should have lost him. I'm not going to say he's this unbelievable defenseman. He did score on us tonight. He also said in his like intermission, I saw a quote on Twitter. It was like something along the lines like, "Might go out and get another one." That's what he said after the first. Or
and
something.
Then Patty sat him down for the night.
Reverse hit. That reminded me of Forsberg. Was really great at those reverse hits.
Does that too every now and then.
Yeah. And even the penalty, I don't even want to get into it. Even the penalty where he quote unquote hit him from behind, that was
a little soft.
I mean, he hit him from behind, but he looked like there was a sniper in the arena, and just took him out in the corner because that was ridiculous.
He took a chomp out of those boards too. He made sure.
That's probably why he looked the way he did. He got chomped, face first in the boards, and then
the reverse hit with Patty that was just all whiplash. He didn't hit the ice. His head just was like a bobblehead. It was insane.
That was so great, too, because that...
Does he have something, Patrick? Because he went after him three times.
I don't know. He was getting into it with Raffle and Lotz the other night, so I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, that hit by Patty, it felt like a momentum play, to be honest, because Patrick throws that huge hit. The Penguins bench was going nuts. Like Friedman was going for the hit.
Yeah.
So Patrick is allowed to brace for that, and Friedman is like he's what
not
five
even
three,
that.
Like,
man, no.
If Friedman's a right hand defenseman, he came all the way across from the right side to make that hit on his offside. So obviously, if you're doing that as a defenseman, like. There's some personal motive involved there.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, hopefully he's not hurt too bad because that looked bad when he got up. I'm glad Patty seemed engaged, at least on the physical side of things. He was good kind of trekking back through the middle. Still looking for him to turn that corner. Obviously, he was on the fourth line tonight, which I think is a fair spot to put him. I'm glad AV did that after his decision to sit NAK. I don't think any of us agree with that.
He was rounding into form recently, NAK.
Yeah, like he's been playing so solid. I know there had to be someone to come out in order to get TK back into the lineup, who looked good tonight, two posts.
Yeah, he did.
But I think like Lindblom, Patty, Bunny, like I think those are more obvious options based on play. If you're going to pull the classic like – accountability card, I just don't think NAK was the right person because tonight he showed unbelievable chemistry with G.
Yeah, that line did look good.
Well, that Lindblom brought it too. And Bonneman had a good game too. He had two points, two assists at least.
I mean, he was wide open in front and couldn't finish, and G finished for him. I don't want to say that's something that he did.
I mean,
I just think his whole body. I think he's gotten a little better, but he's been super underwhelming. Like, and rightfully so. I'm not going to say I expect.
Yeah, I mean, he's been underwhelming, but I thought he's looked pretty decent the last since the Buffalo series, and then I thought he was
Buffalo.
Good
he looked good. He disappeared the other night, but so did 80% of the team. I thought he was better tonight. Patrick,
I just think
go ahead, Matt.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say, I think NAK, if you're going to pick between the two, I would pick NAK right now. In terms of if you had to sit one, I think he's just been more engaged, more physical. He's been creating more high danger chances himself. I think Lindblom has been a nice complimentary piece recently on that line. But outside of that, I haven't
NAK
seen
NAK did not shoot sorry to barge, Mike. That break, he didn't have a breakaway, but it was – I mean, clear opportunity to throw the puck on net. Instead, he tries a backdoor pass through his legs and through other five people's legs. Infuriating. Sorry, continue, Mike.
No, I don't think it's realistic, though, for Lindblom to come out of the lineup. Like, I just don't see that happening. Like Lindblom coming.
No,
out
I agree. Especially. I don't think they're gonna do that. But
yeah,
so I don't think it's right.
It comes down to Kubel and Bonneman, and in AV's words, he said he wanted to try Patrick at wing, so they weren't gonna take out Bonneman, so they needed to take out a winger. So I would imagine that Bonneman probably comes out next. Would be my guess, because Patrick. I mean, you don't want Patrick playing fourth line center, but
I mean, honestly,
you want him playing.
You want him playing, and he can play. You know, I agree. He was engaged physically tonight, and I thought. So, I don't know. I thought he had looked good though with Hayes and Drew.
So you, Matt, you want NAK?
He did. He set up G well.
Matt, you want an NAK in. Mike, you want Oscar to stay. Obviously, there still has to be one odd man out. For me, it'd be Patrick. I would have taken Patrick out. Honestly, no. I would have sat him.
They cannot take him out of the lineup.
Yeah. I mean, I know they're not going to do that. So, like, that's why I didn't bring up – why I brought him up. But I think – and that's the hardest part. Like, I agree 100% with what Mike's saying. I never expected Lindblom or Patty to come out of the lineup for those very reasons, is because you're talking about a player you're trying to get back from a cancer treatment. We know how well he played for us last year. And the only way to get him there is to continue to play him.
Same with Patty. Yeah. If you get to the playoffs and they're still invisible and they're whatever, then you know what? You have no time to worry about getting a guy going or anything like that. That's a different story.
All right. But so he's on pace for 15 points. 20. That's what he's on pace for, right around there. 15 points for.
Okay. You have to play him. Him sitting is not going to do anybody any good at all.
But you could say the same. This is where the accountability thing, which I know is such BS, is it's the taking Myers out of the lineup. It's taking TK out of the lineup for quote-unquote bad games.
But they're not coming off of a year away from hockey, basically. Like, that's the thing. They can't get better.
I'm not saying I disagree with you. I think Mike and I differ
is I don't have nearly as long a leash for Patrick as I think you do. I think keep playing him. Sure, play him 30 games, 40 games. But I mean, if you get all the way to the playoffs and he's still invisible, have you made moves to shore up your team? Or I mean, what's the plan? If he just isn't good in the playoffs, then you're not operating at full capacity as a team.
That's a different story. If you get through a year and Patrick hasn't found his game by the end of the year, then you're looking at a different thing. Okay, will this kid be able to find his game after a year and a half away from hockey? Is he the kid who we thought he was prior to these injuries? That's a different conversation, though, than, okay, should he even be playing right now? He should absolutely be playing right now, because that's the only way that you're going to get a chance of him to round back into form. If you sit him for, what, Connor Bunneman over the next, like, 20 games, like, that does nobody good. Any good whatsoever.
I'm sure the Flyers are, I don't think they're going to cut bait with him or anything, but I mean, if you can find someone to tell me that Nolan Patrick has lived up to his pedigree, even before the injury, before the migraine disorder.
No one would say
that. There are a lot of people that would say that he's been pretty good.
No one would say that he lived up to
There are a lot of Flyers defenders then. There's a lot of Nolan Patrick defenders.
They're Nolan Patrick defense. That's different than saying that he's been lived up to the pedigree of a number two overall pick. I mean,
hang on, Mike. Say he gets 15 points. Say he gets 20 points in this shortened season. Looks kind of middling. Do you go into next year and bring him back, or do you try and add someone else?
I mean, you probably do bring him back, but that doesn't mean he's a non-movable asset or something.
I mean,
like that.
What are you going to get, a fifth round pick for him? A third round pick?
Oh, come on, Joe.
Do you think you're going to get a second-round pick for him?
Yes! People give high picks for washed-up first-round picks all the time.
I don't even think that's a conversation.
Fifth-round pick.
To have right now, because there's no way we're going to trade him.
Yeah,
despite whatever he does this year, I think, in my opinion, I'd rather... The biggest thing is, even if he doesn't have a great year, he's a cost-control second-overall pick. Mm-hmm. Who's still early in his career, who can still bud. My only issue I've had with him has really just been on the offensive side of the ice, is just he hasn't shown those flashes that we've seen in the first two seasons of high-end skill, like the between-the-legs goal, that unbelievable goal against the Montreal Canadiens. You just want to see some flashes every now and again. And we kind of talked about it in previous episodes. He's been a perimeter player, even though the last two games he's been more physically engaged. You just like him to be shooting more in a lot of things. He just... I think someone posted about it on Twitter that he was like 10 plus games without a shot. Like, that just can't be a thing.
Yeah.
Like, you can't be on the second line and have no shots over 10 games. Like, that's
I think he's in a tough spot, and he's trying to find, honestly, just trying to find the legs of the game again. And then from there, he'll hopefully find those, like you're saying, Matt, the shot, when to shoot, when to get it on, when to pounce. Like, I mean, the team's just going to be patient with him. That's just the way it is. And there's no reason to not be, honestly. Like, he's a second overall pick. It's not like...
We saw what happened with Kutz. I agree. I agree with both of you. I'm frustrated that he hasn't shown more, especially because I thought he started pretty well. He had 5 points pretty early on in the... I think he had all of his points.
Yeah, I mean, he started out hot and then...
I'm not saying that he's been like good or anything. Like that's a different conversation. Like if you're saying Nolan Patrick needs to be held to the same standard as, I don't know, another guy on the team, and that he should be just as susceptible to being benched as any of these other guys, I just flat out disagree, because you're not grading him. You're just, for lack of a better word, like, you're not grading him on by that same rubric as other players. Same thing with Lindblom.
So is Lindblom.
For right now, he and Lindblom are, because they haven't played. I mean, Patrick hasn't played hockey in 2 years or whatever it is. Yeah. Like,
no, we'll see.
And to think this all started from me complaining about NAK getting scratched. But I think a big thing to keep an eye on: Myers leaving the game late, taking a high late hit from some no name.
I would like to see
someone
respond there. And again, this team doesn't.
That's
do
what
it.
I was going to say in the group chat.
I didn't even. I didn't
that
even
was,
see the play.
It was when he came down on left his on his strong side, and he took a shot, and then that Angelo, whoever.
I don't
the hell
think
that
he
is,
got another minute of ice time.
He hit him high and late. I'm pretty sure Raffle saw it. And I agree with Joe. That's the one thing that does bother me. Like, I'm not telling you to take a penalty, but if you watch,
well, remember Lindblom. I think someone, you said it, Lindblom, when he's getting checked in the head.
Yeah,
and they did
the
nothing.
Lindblom hit.
Yeah,
they're just there's a softness to this team that someone by the name of Matthias Ekholm maybe add a little grit to the lineup. No, but
Goes out and gets Matt Martin to address that need, I don't want to hear anything.
Remember, they almost signed him. They almost signed Matt Martin.
Matty Martin scored
they
from below
did, they couldn't give him
the goal.
I saw that tonight. The perfect angle. He shot off the dude's helmet.
Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, like Joe said, that's just an instance where it's like anyone takes a late run at any player, especially Lindblom, you should be kind of, I don't know, rubbing your glove in his face.
I mean, I was thinking someone just stand up and fight him. But, you know, hockey is the only sport on earth where you're allowed to fight somebody and you both just serve 5 minutes. Unless you get the stupid instigator, which, you know, I hate that penalty. I hate the instigator penalty. But, you know.
When was the last time they've called that?
I don't know. But the Flyers have only had one fight the entire year, which, listen, I'm not saying go back to the dark ages because I don't think that works. But at the same time, you know.
Who had our fight?
NAK got his lunch fed to him by somebody.
Yeah. It's
situational
too. When did?
Oh, that's what he did. Yeah.
When did Myers go down? When did that happen?
Second period.
Second
towards
period.
The end. Middle.
Okay. All
right. I mean.
So I was gonna say, sometimes to me, sometimes it's situational.
I agree.
Like, you gotta weigh. All right, is it worth giving the Pens a power play?
Well, I'm not saying you have to give him a power play, but it was after the whistle. Like, well, you can skate by and, like, grip him up or something.
Yeah.
That's not
instead,
you a penalty.
Matt, you said keyboard warriors in the outline. That's what the Flyers bench is. It's just a bunch of keyboard warriors. Because when he skates by the bench, they were chatting him up, but no one did anything. I mean, that was it. He got chirped when he was skating by the bench. And then, like I said, I don't remember seeing very much of him after that, but the Flyers are it's a little... little annoying to me that it seems to be, I don't know. I don't know where this has come from. Maybe losing Simmons really lost that. I don't know. He always would be someone to step in and make his presence known, whether it was a fight or a hit, but I don't want to take a penalty either. Like you said, Mike, it has to be situationally correct. You know, they're trying to tie the game. Maybe a fight doesn't make sense there, but I don't know.
Sam Moran's playing defense
bring
again.
Bring him back.
Put him in there for Haig.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, I guess Gus will draw back into the lineup, right, if Myers is actually going to be hurt. So my dream of Moran will continue to be put on the back burner.
Yeah.
Anything else we want to touch on game two before we wrap up?
That's I don't want to keep jumping. I feel like Flyers fans in general and us too on this podcast keep jumping on and off of like, oh, I think the team's rounded the corner. And then like two games later, we're like, maybe not. And then a game later, we're like, no, I don't know. But I think this is one of those wins that should help the locker room. At the very least, should help the locker room. This should be like one of those things.
Character wins.
We can, it's a character win. It's like a season, not like season defining win, but it's one of those wins along the way. You look back, like I'm sure, how many games can we look back from last year and be like, oh yeah, that was a huge game early on.
Those Columbus games. Yeah,
Columbus games, the back-to-back Washington games late in the season. Like, so this could be one of those wins if the team... You know, if the team winds up having a nice year.
I don't think they know what their identity is yet. And until they find it, that's when I'll be happy that they
found it.
I don't think they're there yet. I think it's going to be more games till they figure it out. Because I think they started to figure out before COVID. And then they got sidelined for 2 weeks and they lost all momentum and all chemistry that they were building. That went thrown out the window. Then they thought they had it against Buffalo. That team looked a lot like the team from last year. And then, you know, you have a horrible game. So... it's going to be more games and more games, which is fine. They just hope they figure it out before the deadline.
As long as you win along the
way.
They just need another piece. I think that's what will bring the team together is when your goalie can bail you out in bad defensive gaffes, then I think that's kind of been the biggest determination of whether or not we can continue on playing like a good game. Whereas if we let in those weak ones, it's kind of like a snowball effect. But
do you want to do a real fun thing before we end? You guys give me your best trade for Matthias Ekholm. If you're Chuck Fletcher right now, what are you giving up for Matthias Ekholm? All right, I'll give you a couple seconds. I'll just plot around a little bit. Just think about what I would give up.
I want to take back what I said because I said on Twitter a second and Frost, which is a steep
that's a
price.
Lot, yeah, for.
It is a lot.
That is a lot. Because I saw some people tossing around some different things. I was like, oh, my God. Because I don't know what the market's like for him, right? I mean, obviously, he's a very good defenseman. If we get into a bidding war, like, it may take something that you don't want to give up like that. Ideally, we don't have to give up Frost. But I can imagine, like, a second and
I think –
like a top, I'm trying to think of an offensive.
Like Isaac Ratcliffe, maybe.
I was thinking Isaac Ratcliffe, but I feel like his stock has dropped. I'm thinking maybe Jay O'Brien, a former first.
Jay O'Brien.
Having a good year, BU. Like,
I would be willing to give up. I would be willing to lose Morgan Frost in a trade for a defenseman that's clearly going to come in and help solidify.
Oh, I would 100%
this defensive
unit.
Yeah.
If we can give up Jay O'Brien instead.
Sure.
So, Mike, you say Morgan Frost that he's on your, you'd be open to it.
Yeah. If the Preds were like
Morgan Frost straight up for him, yeah, I'd be into
Morgan Frost straight up. I would do that deal. I would do that. I would do Jay O'Brien in a second. I would do that as well.
I would push the envelope if the Preds come into it asking for Morgan Frost. If I were Chuck Fletcher, I know that this wouldn't happen. I'm just saying this is how I would assume this is how GMs operate. I would push the envelope and be like, all right, like, yeah, sure. Like Morgan Frost, it's a fine starting point. Like, you know, what are we talking for Yossi or something? Like I would steer the conversation.
See,
I would go.
Because then
once you walk it back and they're like, no, Yossi is untouchable at home, whatever. Then it's like, then you can just walk the package.
See, I would do.
That's what I would hope.
I would do Frost. I would do Frost a part of a package. I would do like Frost and a first for Granlund and Ekholm.
Where does Granlund fit though? That's when people bring up like because like Mike mentioned, even though he might be better right now in terms of how he's been playing than like a Lindblom or a Bunneman or whatever it might be, like I. outside of Bunneman, I can't imagine that he fits into a different spot in the lineup.
Also, I think there's something to be said for like wrecking team chemistry. So, like, you know, bringing too many guys can sometimes backfire on you. Look at the Caps when they brought
in Shattenkirk. The only forward I want from them is Forsberg. That's the only one I would be like, yeah, this team doesn't really have a player that's like him.
My only...
Frost. You probably would have to go like...
It's expensive.
You probably have to go Jake, Patrick, and like...
A first.
I don't know. Like a defensive prospect to replace.
My only non-negotiables.
But the problem is, it's only 2 years of those guys.
My only non-negotiables for a deal acquiring Ekholm from the prospect pool. I'm not dealing Cam York. I'm not dealing Bobby Brink, and I'm not dealing the guy we just drafted. What's his name? Forster.
Those three,
I am not giving up.
I forgot about him. Jesus.
Zamula is in play. Go ahead. I will listen on Zamula because he just got injured again, didn't he?
I don't know. He was wheeling last night for the Phantoms. He
fell awkwardly in the third.
Well.
So yeah, I would listen on Zamula and the rest of the lineup. Jake would be a tough pill to swallow, but Forsberg does score goals, so I would prefer to have that in the playoffs. But interesting times. Maybe they go with someone else. I heard that. Was it Savard down in Columbus? I hear he might be in play.
I like Please, him.
You don't like him?
I hope that – I just think that it's such a –
That's a very Flyers move to make.
The drop-off is just so steep from Ekholm to Savard. Like, I definitely would
prefer Ekholm. But, I mean, anything's better than what we're trotting out.
Yeah, but
like, – literally anything. I just don't
– I mean, Savard is a career – I mean, he's a Corsi black hole, basically.
Does he make playoff plays?
Is he worse than Robert Hague?
Does he
make
playoff plays? Does he block shots?
Serious question. Like, is he, like, close to, like, Robert Hague level, like, analytics?
Am I willing to pay 4.25 for a guy who's only going to play defense? Like, he's one of those guys that just generates defense, in my opinion. Like, I don't – he eats a lot of minutes, and he – He's rocking a 45 Corsi this year. Like I know that's not everything, end all be all, but if you've convinced me,
Ekholm's the guy.
If they can't get Ekholm, Savard is.
I think you guys are forgetting one option that's just waiting.
Pay a half a million more for a guy that's so much worse.
Half the player, half a million more.
Yeah,
that would
be the Flyers.
You're forgetting somebody else. Would. Braden Coburn can Sam be had Ryan. For a third round to fourth round.
No, shut up.
He Joe's just got called up from the taxi squad.
Nolan Patrick for a fifth round pick.
If you can find someone right now to Braden give you Coburn. A second round pick for Nolan Patrick, I'd be surprised.
Joe, if you don't think that teams would that's, be would that's line the dumbest, up for that, you're out
Joe,
of your
I love you, and I've been frustrated by Patrick, but that would be so stupid.
I would.
Because think about our second round picks. Like, we strike gold with Carter Hart, okay. But outside of that, you have NAK and Carter Hart.
Be taken in the first, by the way. I mean, he should have probably been taken in the first round.
Yeah, he should have been in hindsight, but he got taken in the second. My point is, we're batting like Robert Hague was a second-round pick. He's terrible. Like, that dude should never play
in the NHL. What
about
the other Swede, the big guy, the other big defenseman?
Hoger?
No. Ginning?
Adam Ginning, Jesus. Bring that him was over. One of the worst picks in Hextall history.
Ronnie Hextall.
We're doing a Flyers black hole right now.
Ronnie Hextall's got his fingerprints all over this team.
I think that's when Hextall knew that he was out. He was
just, by the way, just for fun, like, Pierre, I don't know if I had to listen to the NBC broadcast on Tuesday. Honest to God, Pierre was talking about Mark Friedman like he was Bobby Orr. I had never seen anything.
Was
oh,
he?
My God.
I need some quotes. What was he saying?
He's like, yeah, Ronnie Hextall, see, please pluck this guy from God himself. He comes down in the ice, and he's just unbelievable right-handed defenseman. Commodity, only 23. I think he can make something of himself here in Pittsburgh. We've seen that a lot with guys.
Isn't he 26?
I don't know. But, yeah, he was
like 24, 25.
Pierre was very into Mark Friedman. You know Pierre, though. He knows everybody's, like, grandmother's grandfather and what province.
It's everyone's street address from when they grew up. It's probably illegal as to how he obtained that information.
He just doxes people live on
there. He does. Yeah. He kind of does.
His grandmother shops at this grocery store at 4 o'clock every Saturday. It's like, oh, what?
Yeah. No, that's a kind of beer, but we'll see. Anything else?
One more game this weekend against the Pens, and then who? Capitals on Sunday, right?
Yeah. That's a tough – what a tough brutal stretch.
Schedule. Six
three
and
in a row against the Pens on the road and then Caps.
Is it at home or is it in Washington?
A Caps is at home, right? Because they should have fans back in the arena for that one.
I was going to mention that for the Pens. They have all their founder fans in the building.
Yeah.
The ones
they're
that
maskless
were
fans.
Were they maskless?
Yeah. Didn't you see that? The Penguins account photoshopped masks on like five fans in the original from the original Jesus. Picture.
I'm going out there this weekend.
I can't
so
wait.
Fingers crossed. Pray for me, boys.
Yeah.
Double mask up.
I will.
Yeah. Double mask, Joe.
Yes. All right. Anything else, boys, before we end it?
No, I think. I think we went every which way in this.
Yeah,
episode.
This
will be a fun
We were all over the place tonight.
This is one where I lop off the beginning, I lop off the end, and I just post
it.
Hey, you know what? If anything, there's going to be some press on this because apparently my Nolan Patrick hatred is too strong. So someone's going to.
That's going to be the. I'm going to clip that off. That's going to be our clip for Twitter. I haven't done one of those in a bit.
Listen,
so we need to. We need to post
it's a result oriented business. I need results, Patty.
Joe. Joe's, what are you going to get, a fifth round pick for it? What are you, crazy? Like, that back and forth. That was priceless.
You can clip that. That'd be good clickbait. Literally clickbait. So,
yeah.
All right, everybody.
Yeah, just see how we're doing after a big win, and it's just Mike and Joe yelling at each other about Patrick for a fifth.
I need results. Show me the money. Man. Jerry Maguire. Come on, Pat. I need to see some goals, buddy. I needed you to shoot the goddamn puck. But I hope everybody has a great week. I may or may not be on the pod. It's all going to depend on timing for Monday's episode. So fingers crossed we were able to figure it out. But for Matt, for Mike, for myself, have a great weekend, Philadelphia.